Looking for a six-out save in the playoffs. No Philly since Tug McGraw has turned that trick. One ball, two strikes. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. Dominguez does the job. A six-out save to preserve a 4-2 win here in Game 3 of the National League Championship Series.
Listen to this crowd.
Wow, the crowd broke into a really slow song.
How about it? Sounded like the end of a wedding.
And it was a great thing to see Sir Anthony back and dominant, because it's such a key to the whole thing. Sir Anthony and Alvarado, I don't really trust anybody else. I don't trust.
You know why you trust those guys? In part because they miss bats. You know, for all the time we spent last segment talking about Larry.
Does not.
Putting the ball in play with Larry Boa, of course, the counteract to that is you want relief pitchers who strike people out late in the game because the fewer balls that are put in play, the less opportunities there are to have something bad happen.
Yes, but that Sir Anthony is pitching so well and Alvarado is pitching so well just helps this team so, so much and has really, really been something that, we want to continue riding.
I got an interesting note on that, actually, that Franski call. He said it was the last time that any Philly made a six-out save was when Tug McGraw did it. It was the same date in 1980.
Wow. Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Was that game six of the 1980 series?
When McGraw did it, it was October 21st, 1980.
I believe that was the clinching game.
Yes, it was.
That was the police dog game, as everybody remembers it now?
Well, I wasn't alive, so
Kyle, so that was, 42 years ago?
Yes.
So in 2064... 50-50 chance I'm here. I don't know. Much better chance that you're here.
Yes.
Remember that moment.
Will do.
Okay, there you go.
Kyle and I will be co-hosting together. Remember back in 2022.
This hour is sponsored by Meridian Bank. Business banking at its best. Visit them at meridianbanker.com. So what do you got going for the rest of the day, Mike Sielski?
So I have a busy day ahead of me, Glenn. I'm heading from the studio. I'm eventually going to make my way to the Wells Fargo Center to check in with the Sixers. They're playing the Spurs tonight at 6 o'clock. Want to be there for some of the pregame stuff. Talk to Brett Brown. He's making his quasi-triumphant return to Philadelphia. And then heading over to the ballpark for game 4. How about you?
Nice. I am not heading to the ballpark for game 4, although I'll be there at least for the pregame tomorrow. Jody Mack and I are going to be doing the show from down there tomorrow starting at 10. I will be kind of following the game from afar. Tonight is the second performance of Clue, the play that I am in at the Players Club of Swarthmore, where I am Colonel Mustard, who may or may not have committed the murder.
You are in the movie version. You are Martin Mull.
Yes.
Yeah,
I am, but I'm different from Martin Mull. But nonetheless, if you want to do what I'm going to do, which is record the game and then watch it at 1 a.m, which is pretty much my plan, come out to the Players Club of Swarthmore. The show starts at 8 o'clock tonight against the Phillies, but I guarantee you will get lots of laughs if you come out to the Players Club of Swarthmore and see it, or get your tickets for tonight or tomorrow's matinee, or next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, at pcstheater.org.
And you had the opening night last night, and from what you said, it went splendidly.
It was great. We had a great audience, and everybody in the cast was just so on. It was a delight. It was great. I loved it. Before we get to that, because you brought up the Brett Brown coming back, and we talked a little bit earlier just about the sad state of the Sixers. Your level of worry about the Sixers right now, or is this just, you played Boston, you played Milwaukee, two really good teams, not to worry?
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I am so worried that I'm going to write a column saying that everybody should be fired.
I do it the other way around. Yeah, 10 would be the high worry.
10 being, they're going to be fine and they're going to sweep the Phoenix Suns in the finals or whoever. I'm going to say like a 3, 3.5.
It's pretty worried.
It's two games in, but it's two not great games in. And as I think we referenced earlier, I'm a little concerned that through two games, Doc Rivers is not playing the bench all that much. That was supposed to be the reason to feel better about this team, was they are deeper. And through two games, there's no sign that Doc Rivers thinks they're deeper. And that gives me some pause.
And it is October, so like you, I don't want to overreact, but Embiid's disinterest or dissatisfaction or some, I think there's something there with Embiid that I don't know how it's going to play out, but it may play out with a new coach.
You know what the telltale for that was, Glenn? He didn't speak to the media after the game. And usually I'm not someone who cares one way or another if an athlete doesn't want to talk to the media. They all have their reasons. If they're making themselves accessible and available to us, great. If they don't, whatever, I can write around it. But generally speaking, when Joel doesn't talk to the media, something's up.
Something's up. Yeah, so we'll see. And by the way, Flyers 3-1.
How about it? John Tortorella, Coach of the Year. What do you think?
Carter Hart, Vezina Trophy. That's what I've seen so far.
All this team needs to do to make the playoffs and be a contender is have Carter Hart play better than any goaltender has ever played in the history of the National Hockey League.
He's been good.
He's been great. His save percentage is close to, you know, .950, I think.
Yeah.
Flyers fans, I'm sure, would love for him to keep that up, but I'm not sure that's going to happen.
No, but, 3-1 start is more than I expected.
Same.
Let's go to Matt in New Holland. Hi, Matt.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good morning.
Doing great, Matt.
All right. I'd just like to touch on, this Phil's playoff series and then touch on Stott real quick, if that's okay.
Go for it.
So it's pretty cool. I mean, I got into baseball, really got into baseball back in 06, 07, 08. Watched every game at my uncle's house with my dad and my brothers. And now I have a wife, two sons, and a couple of weeks ago, for the first time, my four-year-old sat down beside me and started asking questions. Watching the baseball game, started asking him for names and if that would have hit and different things like that. And now, for the first time in 11 years, tonight, my dad and brothers are coming up. We're going to watch a game together, and this time my sons are going to be included. So, it's pretty cool. Looking forward to it. And on Stott, real quick. I mean, that was incredible last night watching the discipline at the plate and those two at bats. Where he got the hits was just incredible to see a young guy like that. The discipline at the plate on 0-2 counts.
Yep.
Yeah, he doesn't seem overwhelmed by the postseason, the moment, all of those things. I mean, you look at his numbers from the regular season, he wasn't particularly productive, but he did get big hits for them throughout the course of the season, and he's been better in the postseason. And I think, Larry Boa's optimism about what Bryson Stott can be as a player should have Phillies fans all over the place optimistic about him, too.
I just love that it's him and, what do you say, dad and his uncle and his son and whatever. Yeah. So they got the three generations going, and they have not seen playoff baseball together. Listen, we've been through a lot over the last 11 years with this team.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Sandberg.
Oh, gosh.
And Gabe Kapler and Vinny Velazquez and Andy McPhail and
I think it was Matt
Scott Kingery. I mean, we can just keep throwing out names that evoke tough times, right? The great players grew old and went away, and mm-hmm. then there were these like false prophets that we thought were going to be good and weren't, and managers who just couldn't get it done and
didn't relate.
Yeah, thank you. And off of the heels of 07 to 11, it was mm-hmm. just a dreadful decade.
Yeah, it was.
And now baseball's back, and it just feels so great.
It does, especially because, as Matt referenced, baseball more than any other sport is really a sport of fathers and sons. It really is, especially nowadays in the whatever you want to call it, the information age, where you need somebody who's a little bit older than you to kind of pass this down and say, hey, stop, watch this sport, watch this game. It's not excitement all the time, but there is stuff going on here. And it was missing from Philadelphia. For me, it was missing just because of the way the sport changed. To me, it just got more boring and less interesting. But, certainly around here, that's turning around, and I hope
when it's
for the
good,
sport
it's great.
Itself. Yeah, when the sport itself
baseball,
turns around.
When baseball's bad, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's just not watchable. But when baseball's good, particularly in the playoffs, is great. I know you and I have talked about this, but in the playoffs, every pitch.
Right? Yeah.
So during the regular season, like, would you throw the ball?
Yeah.
But now, between pitches, like, oh, what's he going to do? There's a guy on first. How's the defense going? What's going to happen? What's the umpire's strike? There's so much to consider.
The line of the postseason to me was written by my colleague David Murphy at the Inquirer during the Phillies-Cardinals series after game one. And he said, watching playoff baseball is like watching a loved one defuse a bomb. You don't enjoy it. You endure it. And he's 100% right.
Okay. I'll think about that.
Yeah.
Let me sneak in Earl and New Hope before the break. Hey, Earl.
Hey, how are you, Glenn? Hey, Mike. Hey, it seemed like Thompson last night had a plan and stuck to it, where he's like, Rangers only going five, and then, you know, six is Eflin, and so on. So I think today, what do you guys think? You know, three with Falter, three with Thor, and then maybe, you know, depending upon where it is, give Robertson the seventh, Alvarado the eighth, and Sir Anthony the ninth again?
Well, I don't think you'll see Sir Anthony.
Yeah, not after two innings last night, you're not going to see Sir Anthony.
Alvarado probably gets the closing opportunity. Maybe, you know, lefty-righty depends. Maybe Eflin. We did earlier get a, I don't want to say a report because it was speculation.
Yeah.
I'll say speculation.
An assertion, a possibility.
There you go. Good. My thesaurus.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
Don't be shocked if Nola, this being his day to throw on the side, gets an inning today. I don't know that that's going to happen, but it's an interesting dynamic to consider.
Like if Thor starts to falter and you need a righty because they're throwing up lefties, something like that? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I think in any kind of playoff game, Earl, you're a manager and you go in with a plan and you hope that it plays out the way that you would want it to play out. But you never know what's going to happen. I think with respect to last night, for instance, yeah, they had gotten five terrific innings out of Ranger Suarez, and maybe in different circumstances, after only throwing 68 pitches, he might have stayed out there for the sixth. But as we referenced earlier, you have Manny Machado coming up to lead off the sixth, and he's a great hitter who already put the ball in play hard against Suarez twice. So you make the move there, you make the pitching change, and that's got to be something where if the circumstances had been different, maybe Rob Thompson would have made a different decision.
What do you think of the three-batter rule?
I like it.
I do, too.
I like it.
Everybody hates it.
No, I like it
because I think it adds to strategy. First of all, the most boring aspect of baseball is watching a pitcher be taken out and another pitcher come in.
Absolutely.
And now that they carry 13 pitchers, a manager can just like, give me a loogie, give me a guy gets out right.
This was Tony La Russa in a nutshell,
yeah,
and it drove everybody nuts.
Right, yes. Just killed it. And I think that it forces you to think ahead.
Yes.
So like, okay, my guy can get out Sealski. He's the righty who can't hit lefties, but the next guy up, you know.
Macnow.
Kyle Quinn. Well, Macnow's a cleanup hitter.
Oh, okay.
Kyle Quinn's coming up next, and you know, he's not a good matchup. I like that rule, and I'm surprised so many people don't.
I am too. For all the reasons that you cited, strategy is part of the game. It's supposed to be part of the game. You know, I was not somebody, and maybe this makes me really old school and really whatever, I was not somebody pounding the table to bring the designated hitter to the National League.
Love it.
I know you do, and I don't mind it. I'm not suggesting, like, you know, they betrayed the soul of the sport.
Save the Philly season.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't have Bryce Harper.
Right, exactly. But the thinking ahead and the strategy is a big reason that baseball can be fun to watch.
Yep, and the three-batter rule certainly adds to that. All right. For most business people, a meeting with their banker can be like a trip to the dentist. But talk to Meridian customers, you'll hear a different story. Their business lenders come at things from your point of view, and they bring a ton of useful guidance and advice. Mostly, they're a genuinely fun group. And I speak from personal experience. The word is getting out. If you'd like to take the stress out of your business.